Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We say hello to Adam Amin. He's going to be on the call for the Titans and the Colts for Fox Sports. He does it all. He does the NFL, baseball, NBA as well. Adam, how you doing?
Good to talk to you, boys. I'm doing good.
Yeah, glad to have you on with us. So when you look at this matchup and you've done your research getting ready for this game, the Titans off to a 1-2 start, the Colts at 1-1-1. Obviously, things have not gone all the way to the point that either team had expected. But what do you think about this matchup with the Titans offense and some of the struggles that they have had and the defense that the Colts puts on the field?
The defense for Indianapolis has probably played much better than their first two games had indicated, and I think a lot of people looked at that week three game and saw, oh, wow, they held that offense in Kansas City to a low total. And that's probably more indicative of where Indianapolis's defense is. Now, you can make plenty of cases about their scheme. You can talk about how it's not the same staff. Matt Eberflus did a great job with that defense for several years in terms of getting takeaways, in terms of excellent tackling, and it wasn't to par those first couple of weeks. And I thought what we saw week three, at least just watching the game back, you kind of got the sense, all right, they're tackling better. They're better at getting the ball out. They're better at getting a takeaway. They had one takeaway the first 2 weeks. They had two key ones against Kansas City this past Sunday. So I think their defense has played better and looks more like what we expected them to look like. That being said, it's easy to be a great tackling team when you're not playing Derrick Henry. And that's the biggest key I think we've seen, as you guys well know, is Derrick Henry running? Is he running well, and is he running effectively after contact? And to get to the point where he can run effectively after contact in the open field, you have to scheme it out for him. And I think the offensive line was much better in week three than it had been in the first couple of weeks of the season. So what does that tell me? The offensive line for the Titans has to play well. I know it's hard. I know it's an adjustment without Luan at left tackle. But I feel like if they win up front, they win games. And that's been the case for a long time for Tennessee since Derrick Henry's been there. I think I saw the number. They're 19-3 when Henry has at least 60 yards after contact, and he had 65 yep. the other day. So, you know, that's a number that really sticks out, and that'll be a number that I'm sure will pop up at some point on Sunday if it becomes applicable. But that becomes to me the matchup that we're going to look at. And of course, my partner Mark Schlereth, the former offensive lineman, is going to be very excited to talk about line play. So I'm sure we'll be keyed in on what's going on in the trenches on Sunday.
Well, you mentioned Derrick Henry and obviously how important he is to the Titans offense, but losing A.J. Brown, they trade him to Philadelphia, they draft Treylon Burks, and you know, I work with a former wide receiver. He's liked some things that he's seen out of Treylon Burks, but you know, he's still a rookie. I think he had a catch the other day, or he had a drop the other day that he probably should have made that play, but from your eyes, what have you seen out of the rookie Burks and maybe how the Titans could use him even more?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we saw a little bit more effectiveness from Ryan Tannehill, too, and that helps, certainly, when he's on point with the football. Listen, he's a big guy. You know, that's the one thing that you wanted when you lost A.J. Brown and you go out into the draft and you spend, you know, a top 20 pick on a receiver. you want size, and that's something that obviously he has. He's, you know, 6'2", he's 230 pounds. That's what you're looking at with A.J. Brown. But A.J. has a skill set that he's honed over the last couple of years in the league in terms of getting off the line in separation, being able to run through traffic a little bit effectively, and those are things that come with time. And, you know, to only have one catch, you only get two targets on Sunday, that's the problem. You got to get this guy involved, and I thought he was a little bit sharper against Buffalo even, and granted, he had to throw the ball a lot more against Buffalo because he got behind so quickly. I feel like, could you use more targets for Burks? Yeah. You know, I think I saw it was like four targets or five targets week one, six targets in a pass heavier game against Buffalo when he got down early. So it's probably not enough if you want to get that guy to the point where he's going to be an effective number two receiver. And eventually, I imagine when you spend a first-round pick, you expect the guy to eventually become a number one receiver. So he's got some work to do, as most rookies do. You know, he's not starting every game. He's not, you know, depending on scheme and depending on their personnel grouping, he's not out there all the time. But I think we'll get to a point where, you know, you're going to use him a little bit more often. He had more snaps in week three than he did in the first couple of weeks in each of those games. So I would like to believe that if he's going to be out there for 40 or 50 snaps, you're going to have an opportunity at least to maybe get him the ball six or seven times a game. If that's where you want to develop him, that's going to be a big factor for this team going forward. So he's got a skill set and a body type that fits what A.J. Brown did. He hasn't developed it yet, and it's hard to expect that from him right out of the gate, but that's what he eventually is projected to be, and that's what they're hoping for him to become. So at some point, you're going to have to test him. You're going to have to put him into spots where he gets more than three or four targets a game, and I think that's something that they're going to work on over the course of this regular season.
We're talking with Adam Amin. He will be calling the game for Fox this weekend, Titans, Indianapolis Colts, alongside Mark Schlereth. Now, the Colts, they were a very disappointing team last season, and the owner made no qualms about it. He spoke very loudly. They chose to get rid of one quarterback, go get another in Matt Ryan. What are all the struggles on offense contributed to Matt Ryan, or do you think he's just, along with the offense, learning this system together?
I think there is something to be said about continuously learning the system. You know, remember where he's coming from. He's coming from a place where, you know, he was the guy forever. And even though he went through a couple of personnel changes and coaching changes, it's still not there yet. But listen, he had the comeback drive. He performed well when they needed him to perform well. And there is something to be said about a guy who has the leadership capabilities that he has. And those are all important things. I'm not denying the importance of that. But their receiving core isn't what it was. You know, in the time when Andrew Luck was there and he had a legit, what I would consider to be the lead guy in a T.Y. Hilton, a guy who could take the top off the defense, you know, that was an effective combination of things and elements that you need. But Alec Pierce is a rookie. You know, he's being asked to do a lot of stuff from an ex-receiver position as a second-round pick. Michael Pittman Jr. has been up and down so far in his career, and he's going to be really good. And I thought he was really good in college, and I have expectations that he's going to continue to develop and grow. But Paris Campbell is your slot. Alec Pierce is a rookie. Michael Pittman is a third-year guy, and this is your receiving core right now. And I would ask you guys, how much similarity do you see with these two teams right now? Because every time I've gone through my board, and again, we're still in the early stages. It's only Wednesday. We get a lot of our best stuff when the weekend comes, especially because we meet with the teams and things of that nature. But I would be curious what you guys have to say in terms of the similarities of these offenses, because you have veteran quarterbacks who aren't always necessarily placed in pass-heavy offenses. They have lead running backs that are heavily relied on. Their tight ends are expected to do a lot in the blocking game. And they have a lot of capital invested in the offensive line, and certainly Indianapolis does. And like I said, with Tennessee, it's a little bit tougher when Luan's out. But it feels like these are two offenses that are desperately trying to find their identity based on veteran QBs that have explosive running backs, and that's the similarities I'm seeing. I'd be curious if that's the perception in Nashville right now when they look at the rest of the division, and in particular when they look at what I would consider to be a rival in a sense in Indianapolis.
I think that is the consensus, that these two teams sort of mirror one another. And I said this last week when the Titans played Oakland. They sort of mirror one another, but the only difference is the head coaches. And I think it's the same with Indianapolis. I think they both mirror one another. They want to do the same things, meaning control the ball with the run game, control the line of scrimmage on both sides, and play really good, sound defense. But I think ultimately the X factor, and tell me if you see it that way, Adam, is the head coach. I think Vrabel has shown that he's head and shoulders above the other coaches in the AFC South.
I look at, you know, I'm not to take anything away from Doug Peterson, who obviously has a much better pedigree.
Well, he's doing a great job down there so far.
For sure. And they're a young team, and I think they made a good decision in replacing Urban Meyer with somebody like Peterson, who I know had a really rough end to his tenure in Philadelphia. But listen, he's got a Super Bowl title, and he did it through a quarterback change, and there you can't take that away from him. So I think that's a fair assessment. Lovey's got a good track record, obviously, but that's a mess down in Houston right now. I think Frank Reich has a lot of capabilities in Indianapolis, and I think we've seen good things from him, but is he the guy to take you the next step? And Vrabel looks like the guy who has been on the doorstep enough, and he's got a great track record going back to his assistant days, and I think his knowledge of rules, you know, and obviously this is all very Belichickian of him, right? Uh-huh. Like, in terms of his pedigree. But his knowledge of the game, his knowledge of the intricacies and nuances of the rules, how he can manipulate the rule book a little bit. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean that as a compliment. Somebody who understands the complexities of the NFL rule book and situational football, that definitely sticks out to me. That's what I've observed in the last couple of years. I've only done maybe, you know, two Titans games on the radio in the last few years since Mike has been the head coach, but I always felt like he had a good new understanding of the nuance and complexities and strategy of an NFL game, how situational and complementary football works with one another. And that's why when you have a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill, who's not looked at as an elite passer, a good passer, and takes care of the ball, that those are important things, but not an elite-level passer, they still win games. And you can say, yeah, they have Derrick Henry, but a lot of teams have really good running backs and really good offensive lines and really good running games, and they don't produce the way that Tennessee has over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. So I think there is some value to that. You know, if you want to talk like wins above replacement, I bet you Mike Vrabel is probably worth a few more wins above replacement than a lot of other coaches in the AFC, and certainly you could stack him up against the rest of the AFC South and probably come out on top.
No doubt about it. Adam, we appreciate the time so much today. Enjoy the game this weekend. I think you're going to see a good one, and we will definitely catch up soon.
Looking forward to it, boys. Thank you.
Yep. Adam Amin, Fox Sports, going to be on the call for the Titans and the Colts coming up on Sunday. I tell you what, we're just going to shift right into it. Mark Borowiecki has been nice enough to come over, Predators defenseman.
Yeah.
He has joined us, so Burrow Cop is here with us,
the nickname that
won't escape you.
Let's check the body temp on Boro, because Carrier just walked through here and he said his toes were frozen. And you're already out of your gear here. We're freezing. We've been going at it since 10.
I mean, you're in shorts and a t-shirt.
Elements. Yeah.
Still got the thick Canadian blood, I guess.
So you just conditioned yourself that way.
No doubt about it. So how have things been to start training camp? Got a couple of games under your belt with the doubleheader and then two starting tomorrow against Tampa. How have you felt?
Good, yeah. I think, you know, as a group, we're pretty happy with sort of the tone we've set. A lot of battles. Those first 3 days were challenging, for sure. Really high workload. Guys were tired. Guys were beat up. But, you know, that's how you kind of create that foundation. Going to that first doubleheader, a little bit tired, and it's a bit of a gut check for you early on the season, which I think is good. It's a good way to set yourself up. So, you know, we got a great group here. It's been a lot of fun. Just trying to enjoy myself.
Yeah, and look, you got some young defensemen that are on this, you know, in camp here, and Ryan McDonough, who's a veteran like yourself, that have come in, so it's a nice mix.
Yeah, for sure, and I think, you know, especially for myself, I find as I get older in the league, I kind of relish that chance to be around the young guys and see if I can pass on what little wisdom I may have. So, I've really enjoyed it. You know, it's a fun part of the game for me. I had a chance to skate with Willsby today on the right side, and he's a great kid. He's a sweet. He thinks the game well. You know, all those young D-men coming up from Sweden, for whatever reason, they have, you know, high IQ and they're strong guys. And yeah, just really enjoy trying to help them maybe adjust a bit to the North American game a bit.
talking to Mark Borowiecki, and Mark, you were talking about a couple of veterans coming in. Since you've been here, it seems like the team has been a little bit on the younger side, but you had Niederreiter, Ryan McDonald. You need that blend, right, of the veterans to go with the youth. It seems like you got a really good mix there between those two.
Yeah, I think two good pickups for us, both, you know, pretty known quantities in this league for good reasons. You know, Nino is a straight-line player, a worker, competitor with a lot of high-end skill, and a guy who's been around a lot of successful teams. You know, that culture in Carolina, what they've got going there in terms of work ethic, probably second to none in the NHL in terms of how they play consistently. And I think to get him and that experience that he has there in our group is huge. And, you know, I think we've spoken a lot about Mac. Again, everyone just knows him. He's, you know, a proven winner, a proven competitor, and also a huge addition for us.
You guys worked on special teams today. You've always been a reliable penalty killer. What's the key to sort of building, you know, that chemistry, the understanding of what you want to do when you work in these practices?
I think there's a few things. I'm a big believer in that sort of like team within a team mentality for your killers. You know, I think for the most part, you got guys back there who take a lot of pride in doing a pretty thankless job sometimes. And I think if you can kind of foster that culture and that identity of that team within a team, it makes a big difference. And I think, you know, you hear us kind of hooting and hollering out there sometimes when we break up the power play. I mean, I think that's a good thing. It's a bit of competition. I think it brings the killers together. You know, we've made some tweaks this year. Like the skill in this league is just so high. Like, you know, they pre-scout penalty kills. They adapt to things. There's trends, you know. There's certain plays that good players kind of make across the board. So it was important for us to make a few tweaks. I think we had. I think it was successful for us in practice today. And hopefully kind of keep it rolling into the year.
I had a fun conversation with Hal Gill the other day that you can appreciate. He talked about when in the exhibition game when you get that first shot block. He said it feels a little.
You see that one right there?
I noticed the other day. I didn't know that was there. He just showed us a big bruise on his thigh. But he said that first one is just, you know, you got to recondition your body.
They hurt a lot more in preseason. We went into that 2 minute 5-on-3, and I looked at our coaches. I was like, what? Any tips? You're like, yeah, get out of the way. me and Fabs went out there and both soaked about five shots. So,
but you got it done, though. That was a really good kill.
Yeah, a little earlier in the year than we would have liked to.
Yeah, you're just like
the I think I'm old and jaded enough to say that now, but no, it's good. I mean, it's always good to get those reps in early.
Is the kill fun, though? Like, if you're going out there and, like, that's your job. Like, I've heard Ekholm say it before. Like, we love going out and killing penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like it'd be a good time.
Yeah, because, you know, you got that you're just naturally in that underdog mentality. You know, you got that chip on your shoulder a little bit. I think it's fun to kind of rise to that occasion. And some of the skill guys can be prima donna sometimes. Nice to get in their grill, you know.
Name names. No, I'm
sure. So show them what all the bangers out there about. So no, it's fun. I mean, again, I think what I said earlier, speak to that again, that team within a team mentality. You know, I think you take a lot of pride as killers when you limp back into the room in an intermission. You've done the job for your guys and given them a chance to win the game.
Mark Borowiecki is with us. I haven't looked back. How much international play have you done in your life with these games coming up?
I haven't done any. No.
Really? Yeah, so you're looking forward to this?
Yeah, I am. Originally, my wife and my kids were going to come, and she's actually – we had a bit of a little more of a surprise pregnancy this summer, so she's going to stay behind, but my dad's going to be there, get the chance to spend some one-on-one time with my dad, which is nice. You know, I kind of have roots in that part of the world, in Central Europe, so it'll be nice for us to get over there. Yeah, it'll be pretty fun.
Mark Borowiecki is here with us. So, have you asked Roman, you know, some advice on Switzerland, some things to do?
I said, if we spend a lot of time in Switzerland, I'm going to be coming back overweight for sure. And cheese, I'm going to put back. So we were thinking there maybe when we weren't sure about the whole visa situation, we're like, all right, just go spend 10 days in Bern and just eat and drink and have a great time. But, no, I mean, I've heard Bern's pretty picturesque. And, you know, I think it's a pretty historic old town, like a lot of intact buildings and stuff. So that'll be pretty cool. You know, I'd mentioned earlier in an interview, I think it's going to be a really special moment for Roman. And I think for us, you know, as guys who just love Roman as a teammate and as a person, to get a chance to kind of take part in that with him and see how meaningful that's going to be for him. I think, you know, for me personally, that's going to be probably the most special part of that trip.
I think it's going to be cool, too. You're going to play SC Bern in an exhibition game, which is something that, you know, you obviously don't get to do on a regular basis.
For sure. Actually, a couple of friends on that team for myself, too, guys who I've played with who come over to North America and then gone back and then – a guy I play with in the Ottawa system a little bit is over there now as a Canadian. So kind of cool to kind of cross paths again in that sort of situation.
What's it been like having Pekka back in the fold?
It's fun. I mean, Pekka's just one of the most genuine, nicest guys in the game. You know, we've been pretty fortunate here with especially our Finnish goalies. Like Juice and Pekka are just good humans. You know, I just love seeing him around. He puts a smile on your face every time you see him. Never heard him say a bad thing about anyone. So obviously combine that with his experience and his success, I think it's a pretty valuable resource.
Well, Mark, it's good to see you again. Hard to believe the season's here, but yeah. Glad that it is. Best of luck the next couple days, and have fun on the road in Europe.
I appreciate your time, guys. Thank you for having me on, as always, and be well.
Burrokop, Mark Borowiecki here with us, Preds defenseman. Coming up next, we'll reset some things that we've seen today from Predators training camp. Trivia with opening night tickets on the line coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Denver Broncos against the Las Vegas Raiders at 3:25. NFL Game of the Week is presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Appreciate both Adam Amin and Mark Borowiecki for joining us in the last segment. We'll have trivia with Preds tickets opening night on the line, so you must participate in that. We will award a winner for those. But I think the biggest thing that stood out to me today, guys, is you know, watching special teams, because I think we know that number one power play unit looks really good. Mark Borowiecki was just talking about killing penalties and how fun that could be. I feel like if I was a hockey player, I'd want to be a killer.
I don't want all the bruises on me, man.
How about that bruise that he had from the other? I mean, that's just a run of the, you know, that's just what happens all the time to those guys, and you just have to tough it out. Hal Gill was a great shot blocker. He talked about that. There he goes, man, that first one. It's like when you dive into the cold water, you hadn't been in the cold water for a long time. That first, whoa, you know, that it just stings a little bit more, that first block shot. So it's something you got to condition yourself to. It's a mindset, right? You're going to give up your body.
It's almost like, you know, the old school wedge buster.
No question. You got to have that mentality.
It's I got to go down here, and it's not made for everybody. Everybody's not built for this. So, you know, there you go. Mm. They're wedge busters.
They battled today. It was a good competition, good intensity level for the first special teams action there. So it'll be interesting. Like you were talking about before, Chase, I think the first five are set on that power play one unit. The question will be, what mix do you want in the second power play unit? And as we were talking about the roster, the way it's shaping up, the penalty killers are important, right? So what do you want on your fourth line? Not only is it what do you want from that group of three, but how do those three fit into power play and or penalty kill?
Yeah, that's, and that's what you got to find out. I mean, like for somebody like Glass and even Tolvanen, putting them on the fourth line is kind of out of their skill set,
yeah.
And because that's not what they are. You're adding more skill to a typically grunt line, kind of like Derek put it earlier. But if you can get them some power play time, that will help with their skill set, and you see that teams do that a lot. So it'd be interesting to kind of watch how that goes both tomorrow and Friday. Again, both games at Bridgestone Arena due to the hurricane against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then Friday night they will head to Bern.
That'll be a treat for us to see the extra home.
We'll be there tomorrow.
You know, home game. Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow, and so we get to watch and see how some of these things develop firsthand. Where sometimes, you know, the road preseason games, we're relying on Pete and Hal to tell us everything that's going on.
Coming up next, your chance to win tickets to opening night in Smashville on October 13th against the Dallas Stars, but you must participate in trivia. We will do that next. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. And I love this sportsbook and why it is my official sportsbook, because it's just like going in to the Westgate, into the Superbook at Las Vegas, but it's in the palm of your hands. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. Just like I said, if you're looking for something tomorrow, I like the Dolphins getting 4. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So all you have to do, download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Just call 1-800-889-9789.
I've got one.
Chase William D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie's got one ready. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, Chase McKay.
That would be trivia.
Chase McKay, Willie Doddick, Derek Mason with you. Ladarius on site with us. Nick Kieser back at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. You must participate. We're going to do this on air. Let's go. 615-737-1025. Load it up. 615-737-1025. For Predators tickets, opening night, October 13th at Bridgestone Arena against the Dallas Stars. All right, Willie, are you ready?
I'm ready. I am ready. And I want to see if this is going to be a real good one. And I'm going to say you got to be a pretty hardcore fan to get this right. Because this is opening night.
Yeah.
This is not just any game. You know, pick a random game in November, December. This is opening night. So I want something that's going to show your real, real acumen as a Predators follower here.
I thought my question that I just asked you was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But that wasn't verified, though. That wasn't verified. We got to go back and verify these. Because I learned the hard way back when I was a youngster. We call him Nick Kieser, the rookie, right? When I was a rookie, rookie mistake. Uh-huh. You ask a question, they're like, "Yeah, I remember that." You know, you think in your mind you got the right answer, but you haven't checked it, and then you get 50 calls saying, "That's the wrong answer, man. I answered it right. You're wrong. It was 1978.
You're right,
not 1968."
You're right.
Yeah. See. You learn from these mistakes. Okay, I've got my question ready to go.
Right. Go ahead, Willie.
Okay. Do we have a contestant ready to go? 737-1025?
We have Joey.
Joey.
Ryan Johansson on the line.
Ryan Johansson's on the line.
I think you're going to be there.
Okay, Joey, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Back in the day, how did Philip Forsberg become a Predator? He got traded from the Washington Capitals, and the trade was for Martin Erat and one other Predators prospect. Can you name the prospect along with Martin Erat that the Predators gave up to get Philip Forsberg in one of the best trades the Predators have ever made?
That's a good one.
Ooh. Mm.
Is five, not is not correct.
Four, three.
Michael Lotta.
That is correct.
That's it. Wow.
Oh, wow. There we go.
At the buzzer.
Yeah, it was at the buzzer. It was at the buzzer. That is right. Michael Lotta.
Your fingers were working.
Yeah. What's going on?
We'll put you on hold, Joey.
Good job,
you're going
Joey.
To opening night at Bridgestone Arena.
I guess there's a certain amount of talent.
Well,
in
what's funny
right.
is people the phone line started blowing up because people figured out. But yeah, I knew that one. Michael Lotta. That is a good one.
Martin Erat and Michael Lotta, who played a few games with the Capitals. You know, it's not like he never made it or anything like that, but it was obviously for Martin Erat was the key guy. And the Capitals were playing for the now. They wanted the veteran, and the Predators got a young Philip Forsberg. He was only 18 years old, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I remember
everybody knows Martin Erat. That was pretty good to find out that it was Michael Lotto. However he found out. Whatever methods he used.
I have the question for tomorrow.
Okay.
I just had one that popped in my head that I have for tomorrow.
I like it.
It goes with the Predators. Mm. So we will, because we'll be at Bridgestone Arena with them moving the game to Bridgestone Arena against Tampa. We're going to have our normal home game broadcast tomorrow and Friday. So we'll be doing our show from Barrel House tomorrow from 10 to 2. Stillman and Company will be there 2 to 4 or 2-6 tomorrow, and then 2-4:30 on Friday because it's an earlier start. But again, if you're a season ticket citizen, you can request up to 4 general admission tickets, and then $10 for an additional tickets, and then everybody else $15 for general admission tickets for tomorrow night's game against Tampa Bay. So will be fun to have the extra game, and like you said, Willie, gives us an opportunity to get that extra look at, you know, what John Hines puts out there with this crew.
Yeah, I am curious who gets the nod in these next couple of games. I would imagine that there's probably going to be a section of the roster that is going to be straight up Milwaukee guys that are it's getting one more look in front of the coaching staff, and I think they'll work their way towards what you're more likely to see on opening night in that game in Bern. I would imagine when they play against Bern, it'll be more of the quote-unquote dress rehearsal.
Yeah,
I would think in that game. I can't swear to it. I haven't talked to John Hines about that, but you got 3 games to work with. That's one less game than you normally have, right, in a preseason. Usually you play 6, so this year only a total of 5 because of the travel.
Well, and I'm
and there
curious.
Goes the Zamboni from 1973 or whatever that they, I think they used in Slapshot in 1978.
It may have. Pete Weber would know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the thing I'm curious about with playing SC Bern, obviously, you know, there are some players that, you know, have played over here. Mark Borowiecki was talking about it. But, you know, the skill set, the mismatch is going to be there. I mean, the Predators are an NHL team going up against a non-NHL team. So I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be fun. But I am curious of, like, what your takeaway,
how much
if you're
you
John Hines, you know, what you're really looking for in a game like that. Because, you know, and I could be wrong.
That's a good question.
But
and it's more of a celebratory night. You know, it may not be the – I wonder. So it won't be like your normal final preseason game.
Right.
But I'm sure it's an opportunity to play, you know, those back-end guys or those younger guys, get them some experience, and see where they are.
Well, you're going to have veterans playing.
You're going to have the veterans playing. Yeah.
You can only take 26, so you can rest a few if you want. Or,
yeah.
But you can only rest so many. It's like that – you guys used to have that in the last preseason game. You had to get the roster down.
Yeah, roster cut
and so
down.
So some of the veterans had to play in that last game.
Yeah.
They probably weren't too happy about it.
But it was usually like the second-tier guys, the backups that were playing, veteran backups that were playing. And I'm sure, you know, those guys that are, you know, sort of on that border of making a team and going back down, they're going to play a significant amount. Like you said, they're not taking a bunch of people, but – you know, at least they're taking that sort of those guys. They're still evaluating. They still have an opportunity to crack the lineup.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans as we put a bow on our show. Stillman and Company coming up though at 2:00 as they will ask, you know, what are the Titans right now? Are they a good team? Or are they not a good team? We discussed a little bit of that earlier, and we will do that next. Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Billy Donick, Derek Mason with you. Yakov Trenin walking by, wrapping things up. The Yak Attack is here as they have wrapped up some practices today. Again, they'll be in action tomorrow night. Appreciate the Predators for having us out for training camp. Usually we do more of these, but looks like this will be it this year because they'll head to Bern. Willie will course be with them. I don't know what that's going to exactly look like for the show.
You know, that was another thing. It was on my list of things to ask Roman when we had him on.
How's the Wi-Fi?
Well, the Wi-Fi is that's a good question. And you know, I don't know exactly how many hours ahead they are. I think it's 7.
It might be 6.
I can look. You know, the iPhone has a wonderful
it has that feature.
Yeah. Okay. World
well, let's learn something here.
So let's find out.
What time is it? What time is it in Bern right now?
I say 7.
Okay.
I want to say it's 7 hours ahead.
Right now in Bern, it is 8:48 p.m.
Ah.
So it is I was right. 7 hours.
7
ahead.
Hours.
So that means our show is from 5 to 9?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
5
now,
to
Now how
eight.
Is that going to work for you because you know they're
so
out.
Yeah.
What time? Hold on. What time is it in Bern now?
8:48.
Oh, 8:48. I thought you said 7:48. I'm sorry.
Okay.
This is my prediction.
Yeah.
we're going to be all set. Like, all right, cool. We'll check in with Willie. Hey, guys, sorry. Dinner's running late. I don't know. I might be in for 30 well, minutes or so.
You know, really, though, I'm trying to think. We'll be in Bern. What day is the game? Monday? Tuesday?
Yeah, so we'll have a game, and we'll be broadcasting that on Monday against SC Bern. So we'll start pregame at 12:30. Derek and I will go two and a half hours.
So that's one of the shows.
Yep.
Is you'll hear the call of the game.
Actually, on Monday, it'll be Stillman and Company with D-Mace. So yeah. We'll let Jerry, Caroline,
yeah.
and Derek handle things 10 to 12:30. And then
yeah, so I'm out because we're televising that game too. Yep. So I'll be out on Monday. So really, I'll be doing the shows from Prague. What time is it in Prague? That's maybe a more important because that's what we're talking.
The same.
Is it the same? I think it might be one
no,
over,
I think
or is it the same?
It is the same. It's 8:49.
Okay, so 5 to 9. All right, that's what we got then. So we'll have social things going on, but we'll try to do some duties there.
Hey, Willie, this is what I want you to do for the show, okay? I want you to set up your computer. Hopefully you have a room with a view of the street or whatever. I want you to set up your computer right there. So we can, you know,
you want to try to scenic backdrop.
Yeah, scenic backdrop.
Okay,
yes,
we'll try to get a good backdrop for you.
Scenic backdrop.
Okay.
Okay. I could get with that.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
We're there, you know?
And so the game.
Well,
so
I'm going. Roman's already said.
Oh, yeah. Right. Chase is already there.
I have workshopped this with a few members of the Predators organization. I have not heard the words no yet.
So. Nah, you haven't.
You know,
so until you hear that word.
Sean Henry's going to call me after the show and say, if I see you on that plane, I will order you you tackled on site.
Sean, you're not going to see me until we take off.
Yeah, I love how you said just walk behind Roman.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hover over him. I don't think that would work. Pekka? Is Pekka going?
Get behind Johansson.
I don't know, but I think so.
Oh.
You're not taller than
Johansson, are you?
No, but we're close.
Okay.
That could work.
Yeah, that could. Or McKinnon.
Ooh, see
there. Yeah, there you go.
McCarron. McCarron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all a 6'6".
There you go. See, that's
his end. That's his end right there.
Or Hal's not going. Hal's going. Hal's staying here.
Hal will be in Atlanta.
I think Hal will rat you out, too.
It is cold.
I think he would rat you out.
David, Roman said I can come to Bern with you guys. Is that cool with you? Okay, all right, I'm in.
Hey, he's got an in.
Hey, I'm in. That's the guy. That's the guy right there.
He can make things happen. He knows people.
All right, Dennis, if you're listening, I'll be in Switzerland. So I asked you guys earlier, and Stillman and Company are going to start on this. Titans right now aren't a good team, but neither are the Colts. So what does that mean going into this weekend, and why is it even more important for the Titans to take advantage of that and get a big win in the division?
Well, to me, it's – and I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You need to get this team because I think the Titans, even though I don't think their roster is a really good roster, it's an okay roster but with a really good coach. So he's able to mask a few things. But
got some music going.
Got some figure skating. Yeah. Yeah, there's figure skating. Short program going on. Short program.
But
the judges are looking on.
But the Indianapolis Colts, I think they are a little bit further behind than what the Titans are. But it seems like, you know, after last week's win versus Kansas City, they may have gained some confidence and they're getting some players back. So you need to take full advantage of this team. Not hitting on all cylinders. I think the Titans are a little bit further ahead in that department than Indianapolis is. So you need to take advantage of it and steal a win. Vrabel talked about it. Stealing a win on the road. So if you steal this win on the road while a team is still trying to figure things out, because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what Indianapolis team you're going to run into 4 weeks from now. That team might be a really good team 4 weeks from now. So you need to take advantage of it while you can.
I agree.
I think that's a really interesting take is that these teams and good teams, mm-hmm. and look, over the long haul, the Colts have been a pretty good franchise. They run a pretty good program, kind of like the Titans. The mark of those teams is you get better as the year goes along. So these teams might look quite different when they meet for a second time. Last year, remember, the Colts were 1-4, but then they went 8-2, and then they cratered at the end. They were recovering from a really bad start, and it looked good for a while there, and then suddenly everything went askew when Wentz got the COVID and they had the whole debacle at the end of the season. They blew the last two games. So I think it's really interesting. You got two teams that are both trying to fix holes. Like, there's leaks. Like, hey, how do we stay relevant here? We still got to win this division here. What about all these things we did in the offseason? What about all these things with young players we're trying to figure out? As Adam Amin was talking about, there's a lot of parallels. There's a lot of good, interesting comparisons. The struggling offensive line for the Colts, especially with pass protection, even though they've got a lot invested in the offensive line, against a defensive front for the Titans that doesn't have Harold Landry. We don't know if they're going to have Bud Dupree back. You know, what does that matchup look like? Mm-hmm. You've got the young rookie wide receivers for the Colts, the thin group overall, against the very inexperienced young defensive backs of the Titans. Really interesting matchup there. You got Derrick Henry trying to get on track against a very stout run defense of the Colts there. What does that matchup look like? That's what I think I'm really looking at for this game, is matchups like that, unit versus unit.
You know what would be, like, you couldn't write the script any better?
What's that?
Henry goes off for like a $125, two touchdowns at the place that he got hurt.
Yeah.
And what would that do for not only him, but what would that do for the team? Because, you know, it would fire up the team. It'd fire up the fan base, too. They got to play Washington next week, and then they have the bye. So they'll be back in Nashville after the bye. You have just him go off. I think that'd be huge.
I think, it, more importantly, it'd be a confidence booster for the offensive line.
Yes.
You know, this is a group that, you know, for the first two games, they were bad. They got better last game. If they can continue to figure this out, things will continue to be simplified. But if they have a big game with in the running department, I think that will be a huge confidence booster for the offensive line.
That will do it for us live from Centennial Sportsplex. We're at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow for Predators and Lightning. But stick around. Do not go anywhere. Stillman & Company, Jared Stillman, Caroline Fenton, Ian Safar, they are next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
We out.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.